Biscotti, isn't that kind of an Italian cookie?
Buccaneers fans, the sage of Tampa Bay sports is here, Mr. Ira Kaufman himself. Absolutely the sage. Lee DeCamper's here, Joe Bucks fan. I'm Steve Isbitz, filling in for Rock Riley on the podcast. Thank you, Rock.
Nice job, Rock. Nice job.
Helping me out there, stepping in with the sage and Lee. Got that thing tightened up, and a beautiful thing. Beautiful thing.
I asked him if he wanted a pecan roll over here at the Panera Bread, and he said no. That's a class act over there.
Rock's a professional. He's a professional. We appreciate him stepping in. And we got plenty to talk about, Ira, but we have to talk about the employee pricing at Bill Curry Ford. Now, this is wild. The employee pricing.
I've never heard anything like this.
Listeners to the Best in Class podcast, which is our draft guru, Sean Sullivan, who in his part-time job, he's the GM at Bill Curry Ford. He explained on his recent breakdown, which was safeties. Excellent. It's available for you at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Joe Bucks.
A position the Bucks may be very interested in, by the way.
Yes. He explained that this employee pricing is kind of like a part of a greater promotion from Ford that they were sort of expecting tariff issues and with pricing, and this was to give customers a break, but that didn't happen. So you're getting this incredible pricing.
How does it work, Steve? What do you mean?
Well, you go to BillCurryFord.com. Curry is the family name, Curry, C-U-R-R-I-E, and check out the inventory, and you can reach out there or get to the showroom a mile north of the stadium, reach out to Sean Sullivan, who's throwing the Ira Kaufman discount on top of everything, and it's only till the end of the month.
You mean the breaks that employees
get
normally?
What normally employees were paying now is open to everybody. Stunning. It's a unique situation. Sean explained it, and I was thinking, damn, I wish I needed a vehicle.
And the Sage discount on top.
And the Sage discount, absolutely. Sean keeps that in his back pocket. BillCurryFord.com. You can find Sean there. You can see their mobile service as well and how that works.
Open Sundays.
Loaner vehicles. They got it all. BillCurryFord.com. And Sage, storm season is a handful of weeks away, as crazy as that sounds, as scary as that sounds. And you got to remember, Florida's Elite Restoration is there for you 24/7. No matter what kind of issue you got in your home, at your property, you are the water damage whisperer. So water damage just destroys people's lives.
And Rock told a story about dealing with these guys because of insurance issues. It didn't happen.
They were
but he said how cooperative they were. Incredible.
Yeah, Rock was very impressed. They were out at his house a couple of times, and they just gave him great guidance. And, you know, not every problem is worth fixing or is covered by insurance, but Florida's Elite Restoration is just absolute experts because they've worked on the insurance side, and they know what your specific insurance company covers versus others. They know the intricacies of the policies. Unbelievable. Get to Florida's EliteRestoration.com, 5-star Google reviews, and they've got an Ira Kaufman, Joe Bucks fan discount. So when you have that disaster and you find it at 3 in the morning when you're like Ira looking for the tasty cakes.
I'm usually looking for a butter cookie.
Looking for a butter cookie, and you drop one, and it's wet for some reason.
And Cosmo grabs it before I can get my hands on it.
Exactly. And you realize, hey, Cosmo didn't pee on the floor. You call Florida's Elite Restoration, and they will come out and survey everything, give you a full evaluation free so you know how to proceed. And they'll fight your insurance company if that's what it takes.
And call them before you call your insurance
company. Call them right away, 24/7. They will respond. They cover the whole Bay Area across the state. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. They're a one-stop shop, so they can do your restoration, but also repair things, replace things, get you a new kitchen that was destroyed. All right, we're fired up, Ira, because we're marching toward the draft, and I do
We're a week away, Stevie. That's what we are.
Lee's fired up to get rid of these mock drafts. I'm kind of trying to have more fun with the mock drafts this year,
you know,
because they're so all over the place.
Mock draft 9.0. Come on. I'm not reading that.
I am so relieved that in about 7 days, I won't have to read about another mock draft unless I really, really hunt for one, which I won't for another 10 months maybe. Thank God. You know what, and I just get a sense, you know, reading the comments on JoeBucksFan.com and hearing from people I talk to, the NFL really needs to move up this draft about a couple weeks because people are just, they're out of
they're
it,
mocked
man.
Out. They're mocked out.
You can't tell
out.
Me if you're that burned out on the draft that you're that hyped up for the draft, you know? It's just people like, oh, let's get it over with. And I love the draft, but I like to strangle these mock draft guys.
I saw a story today, Lee. You probably looked at it, too. It's on The Athletic. And by the way, Lee, I got to say it. The Athletic does some good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
They do
like,
some good stuff.
Like how they wrote about the NBA price-fixing scandal?
They got some quality writers. And so anyway, they wrote a story, And they lead with Jason Light, of course. And it was a story about they surveyed 15 general managers anonymously. Do you even bother looking at mock drafts? Then they led with the quote from Jason Light, because he said something last week about looking at them for fun. For fun. And
I bet he roars.
They said like two-thirds of the general managers said they're well aware, and there's people in the organization, the nerds, that gather all these mock drafts, and they type it up, and they look at them. I can't believe they're taking much stock in these mock drafts.
No, they can't.
I guess they're trying to figure some clue about who the Saints are going to take and who this team's going to take.
I didn't think of that.
They're still crapshoots.
Well, absolutely. I thought maybe someone might, for example, Dane Brugler, might uncover a nugget. Then again, he doesn't do mock drafts in the Beast that they didn't know about, which very well could be. He goes back to high school, but
I can't. So do the Buck Scouts, though. So do the Buck Scouts.
They do, but I just can't imagine. I mean, why would you pay any attention to that? If you do, that means you don't trust your own people. What the hell?
Steve, I've been reading a lot of the mocks, and I would say the name that pops up more than any other is Jihad Campbell. But yeah. I don't think they're going to go in that direction, Steve.
Well, Sage, look, the mocks, if you have people on your staff, I'll give you a good example. So Peter Schrager, who jumped from NFL Network to ESPN in the last handful of weeks, he was on with Pat McAfee, and he explained that he was sitting at home Sunday watching the Masters. And the whole time,
poor guy,
he was just texting general managers to ask questions, see what they were doing, what are you thinking, who's off your board, all that kind of stuff. Now,
see, Ira, so these guys are so damn bored watching golf, they got to text GMs
so
to stay awake.
If that's reality, which Schrager is a credible guy, he's so close with a lot of GMs, including Jason Light. He's told the story that he lived with Mike Greenberg, the assistant GM, for a short amount of time, many years ago. They're still friends, even after living together. It wouldn't happen with me and you, Ira.
Absolutely. I give it 3 days, Steve.
So, bottom line is, when Schrager puts out his mock draft, why, if you were an NFL GM, why would you not look at that? You'd have to be an idiot to not pay attention to it. Doesn't mean you
Because he's not throwing darts at a board.
It doesn't mean you would rely on it. It doesn't mean that you would, you know, make it part of your plan, but you'd have to pay attention to it.
So it's intel. Lately, intel.
To answer Steve's question, there are guys out there that are legitimate and not throwing crap up against the wall.
Right.
Schrager has street cred. They know he talks to all these people. So by reading Schrager's mock draft, they know where he's getting his intel from. Daniel Jeremiah did the same thing. There are guys out there that are legitimate. I don't know who Mel Kiper talks to. I'm not anti-Mel Kiper. Matter of fact, his interview on Jimmy Trano's podcast the other day was fantastic and raved about Joe Buschbaum and Eddie Accorsi. Great, great interview. Anyway, with some of these guys, I mean, they hang their ass out the window every other time they put out a mock draft. And that's why, you know, people will write comments on Joe Buck saying, like, how come you guys hate mock drafts so much, but you write about mock? Well, we kind of know, for me, I'm not going to write about some idiot doing a mock draft unless I want to make fun of it.
Also, you don't necessarily endorse the pick.
Hell no.
It's information.
It's fun, Eric.
Now, most of the mock draft guys I will cite, most of them, are people I trust.
Kiper?
I don't know who he talks to. You never see him out on the road anywhere. I know once in a while I don't know who he's talking to. Schrager, I see him working. Daniel Jeremiah, I see him work. I've seen him sit down with Jason Light before.
I'm not going to put a lot of stock in a Chris Sims mock draft because I don't think he's making calls.
Come on, Ira. But that's the thing. Sims is at the NFL events, so he's talking to people.
Exactly.
That's the point. If he's heard six things that are legit and valuable in the last 2 months, and that's part of his mock draft, you don't know which ones they are, but they're in there. He's best friends with Kyle Shanahan.
I'll give you my one nugget. Lee, I got a nugget.
You just said it, didn't you?
No, I got a new one.
What did you say about Campbell?
I said I don't think the Bucks are going in.
That's
direction.
A nugget.
So hold on, I got to say my nugget.
Yeah.
Nugget two. 2.0.
Lee, this is not a revelation, but this guy said it to me like it's no secret. I asked Sean Payton that night at the owners' meeting.
There we go.
What do you need? What are you looking for?
Whoa!
Within 1.5 seconds.
Running back. But isn't that kind of obvious?
Yeah, it is kind of obvious.
Yeah.
You know. If that second running back behind Jonte.
The guy from North Carolina, Hampton?
Yeah. If he's there, they're going to take him.
Well, that's the fun thing about the Payton thing with the obvious. He needed a running back last year. So it's always fun.
Weren't they also hoping that another running back from North Carolina, Kenneth Williams, was going to bounce back from an injury? He never did. But.
Yeah. They want help for Bo Nix. You know, give him a ground game.
Of course.
Yeah.
So Sage, if you put out a mock draft, you'd have
some
intel.
Which I used to do. and which I used to do
right,
with the trip.
And if you called Sean Payton and said, hey, look, give me something you're hearing out there. Give me a break here. What are you hearing? He would give you two nuggets, and that would be part of your mock draft. So I think there's a lot of value in some of them. Most of them are nonsense.
Like Lee said, you got to parse who's doing it.
But I'm sure Jason Light has an intern or a staff member compiling these drafts into a spreadsheet.
There's two guys really study the draft that I put a lot of stock into because I know who they talk to. And Bob McGinn, who used to cover the Packers forever, that guy knows his stuff.
He does.
And he's got a significant Rolodex. Now, I know I'm dating myself.
Well respected. Well respected.
Very well. And Greg Cosell, who obviously has connections up the yin-yang because he works for the NFL.
Ira Lee made an assertion that the NFL should move up the draft at least a couple of weeks. Thoughts on that?
Well, I agree that from our perspective, move it up because there's a month between the owners' meetings and the draft, and it's brutal. however, Lee, and you'll agree, from a league perspective, it's probably not in their interest.
Because they milk it so much?
It extends fan interest in the NFL. And then the next is the schedule. Turn around and the schedule's coming out.
And then OTAs.
So there's no
football.
End to it, Lee. There's no end to it.
I just say that about moving up the draft because I think people get so fried by all the mock drafts. They're like, would you start it already? And I don't know if, you know, it's almost like Thanksgiving dinner. And you keep waiting, and pretty soon you're going to start eating potato chips.
When's the draft coming to Tampa, Stevie? Can we get a draft one of these years?
Hey, look, the Glazers got to push for that with the Sports Authority or whatever, and yeah, I think it would be amazing.
To me, the draft is, again, I'll use the Thanksgiving dinner analogy. Thanksgiving dinner isn't until 6 o'clock. Well, you're getting the munchies. You're hungry as hell. You're watching football. Oh, there's a bag of chips. I'll eat this. Oh, there's some cookies. I'll eat this.
Thanksgiving dinner up to 4 o'clock.
Exactly, because you wait till 6, you're going to be full eating munchies.
Now, Ira, the greatest thing the NFL could do is
to bring back cheerleaders.
Have round one of the NFL draft, and then a week later, have rounds 2 through 7.
I thought of that.
What are they thinking? That's got to be coming soon, because the hype train would be insane. You got plenty of time to introduce your new draft pick.
What a marketing mind you got.
It's common sense. Why do you have to go 3 days in a row? None of the team GMs are at the draft. They're not sitting in a room. So you'd have so much hype, and it would help teams sell tickets, and it's crazy.
It
would help our podcast.
Not just what Steve's saying. Steve's just scraping the surface. When I thought of this, I thought you'd go whole hog. This year they have the draft in Green Bay. Let's say they did what Steve wants to do, and I think it's a great idea. You sparse it out another week. Well, the second, third round, you have it at pick your city.
That's an expense.
For who? The money? The money's coming on the NFL. They rake in the money.
You got to set it up.
NFL's come on. You know how much money they get for that?
I'm worried about Goodell's. They're running out of money over there.
Well, it'd be great because then you'd have 6 days of meaningful mock drafts leading up to the second round.
Yes.
It'd be amazing.
Like I said, the second and third cities, they pay millions of dollars to host it.
All right, let me repeat this one more time. And I don't want any discussion on this, especially from you, Izzy.
Uh-oh. So you're telling me to shut up, is what you're saying.
Yeah. The stupidest thing in the world is a 7-round mock draft on March 15th. That is the stupidest thing in the world.
On March 15th?
And I'm going to give you the reason
why. Wait a minute. I think Buccaneers.com is on their 10.0 Buccaneers.
But they don't do a 7-round mock draft.
Sure they do.
Not in March, they don't. Not in March, they don't. It's ridiculous. You don't know who's on the board in round 5. It's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. It's hard enough to pick the first round. You're going to pick the 5th round? Are you crazy?
It's all about fun. Now, I'm almost being a hypocrite here, but if you do one or two, right, like a week before the draft, maybe 2 weeks, okay. I see where you're coming from.
Pick 180. The Philadelphia Eagles take so-and-so.
Hey, you don't remember?
What kind of stock am I going to put in
that? Don't remember one time Roy Cummings did a 7-round mock draft, and the 7th round on the Bucks he got right?
I've tried to forget.
Well, I hope one day Jason Light, however it shakes out, he's got 3 7th-round picks like Mark Dominic had years ago in one of those drafts that they coordinate with the Bucs and let the fan pick the guy in round 7.
Wow.
Or I think the NFL, if they were smart, they'd add an 8th round and let the fans pick the player.
Wait a minute. Light's been fairly adept at his late-round picks, Lee. Sometimes he hits.
Sometimes the fans hit, too.
My favorite example, what Steve's talking about, this goes back, 1984 maybe, Landon Turner, who was a center on Bobby Knight's 81 championship team with Isaiah Thomas. And after the season, he got in a car wreck and he was paralyzed. Red Auerbach, in the last round of the draft, drafted this guy, knowing full well he'd never, ever get
on. As a tribute. As a tribute.
Yeah, because he liked the kid and he liked Knight and did it as a tribute because he liked the kid. And he knew full well the guy was never going to be on a basketball court again, but he did it just to honor the guy. I could have swore someone did that in the NFL a couple years ago.
It would be like, Ira, you know, when you decide to retire one day, the Bucks sign you to a two-day contract to play defensive tackle. I think it would be, you know, it would be
not
great.
One day, two-day contract.
Standing at the podium in Green Bay will be one Simeon Rice. And I want to add to that, I think this could be a big year for Simeon Rice. Maybe he can get to the finalist stage. Maybe the final 15 for the Hall of Fame.
And that's when you work.
That's never happened. That's never happened. And if I was a betting man, he might go into the Ring of Honor this year. He might go into the Ring of Honor.
I know who you talked to a couple weeks ago.
He might go into the Ring of Honor. Maybe it's not finalized, but I think he's got a chance.
Well, I know he has a friend in the front office that has a, shall we say, higher up the ladder than Jason Light.
Has a vote. Okay.
I'm getting Eli Manning vibes.
come on. It's April. Let's go.
I'm teasing you, Sage. I got to ask you this, Ira, because the Bucks signed Hassan Reddick. Why? Because they want to win a Super Bowl.
And they pleased Lee DeKemper in the process.
They pleased Lee. They want to win a Super Bowl. They know getting after quarterbacks
is
critical.
I know what's coming.
And he's going to be 31 in coming up. And he came off a lost season. And he's got a big salary. Okay. So, in my mind, we got Jalen Ramsey out there.
Oh, I knew this was
who the Dolphins want to get rid of. Now, the guy is 7-time Pro Bowler, 3-time All-Pro. He's 30 years old. He played every game last year, Ira. Every game. He's damn good. I haven't heard anybody say he's washed out. And he's been versatile in his career, covered Gronk, held him to one catch when they put him in a hybrid safety role in the AFC Championship game. He's done a lot. He's done it for a lot of different coaches, known as a super smart player. He's on the market. Todd Bowles, open, says we need cornerback help, right? We need cornerbacks. This guy solves a lot of problems and creates a tremendous opportunity for Todd Bowles. Bucks have cleared $35 million in cap room-ish, mostly to probably re-sign guys. One of the biggest no-brainers on the board here. Or does Jason Light want to face him when he's on the Vikings or on the Packers? Is that preferable? What's going on here?
Is there ever a guy in the open market that you don't want to grab?
Many of them. Many of them.
This goes with Isbeth's step on their neck because we're
guys got a Super Bowl ring. You can't say you can't win with Jalen Ramsey.
Lee, I'm going to make 2 points and turn it over to you. One, I think his play slipped a bit. A bit.
Mm-hmm. Like Reddick?
He's not Patrick Surtain right now. He's not. He's not the best corner in football. He's still good. I don't think he's great anymore. That's me. Number two, I don't know why I have this feeling. He might be a bit of a troublemaker.
Thank you.
He might be a bit of a troublemaker. And I'm not talking about a salary. I'm okay with it. I think they could find a way. If they really want him, I think they can. Lee, I don't think he's a great fit.
So what trouble has he caused? What am I missing? He played on a Jacksonville team.
Oh, I can tell you.
That was a bunch of Looney Tunes, and it was a unique situation, had a ton of talent, and he was very successful. He goes to arguably the best coach in football wants him, now that Bill Belichick's gone, in Sean McVay, and he does his thing out there, goes to Miami, and he hasn't caused any chaos out there. Has played many different systems. What am I missing?
He always seems to be bitching about something.
Thank you. He's never happy. If he comes to the Bucs or if Miami trades him, that'd be his fourth team.
And they're not going to get a first round.
Studs? I don't care what position. How many studs are out there? The team wants to get rid of him after a couple of years. You know, once or twice, you could overlook it.
That was the Terrell Owens argument in the Hall of Fame room.
Well,
why do so many teams want to get rid of him?
We know now that the guy was an absolute cancer. I'm not talking about Jalen Ramsey. I'm talking about Terrell Owens. Ramsey just never seems happy. Never. And I've seen from NFL films.
We know some sports writers who are like that. You know, we do.
Well,
we
do. That's their problem.
Hassan Reddick is on his fifth team, guys. Fifth team. He's never seems happy either.
Well, he sure as hell wasn't happy going to the Jets.
He wanted a long-term contract. He didn't get one.
He didn't get a contract, but I don't think he wanted to go to the Jets.
Now, wait a minute. You love Jamel Dean so much. Why should you think Ramsey could beat out Jamel Dean over there, Isbeth?
Well, look, we don't know if the Dolphins might eat some of his salary. We don't know if Jason Light could get a draft pick for Jamel Dean.
What are they going to get for Ramsey? Fourth rounder? Fifth rounder? I mean,
well, with that salary, I don't know. With his big salary, they're probably not going to get what they want.
I don't think the compensation will be an issue, Lee. That's not going to be the issue. And I don't think his salary is going to be the issue from a Buck perspective. You know, Light, with the character in the room, Lee. Now, you think that's maybe a little overrated, but it's there. It's there.
There's something about Ramsey. I don't know what it is, but Miami's coach, McDaniel, and their GM, seems like they're on thin ice.
I think so.
Why would they want to get rid of him? You'd think they'd want to win games. There's something about that guy, and I can go all the way back
to
college.
Steve, I understand why you're asking the question.
I'm asking the question. You want to win a Super Bowl? Look, they brought in Antonio Brown. He wasn't the same player that he was in his great.
But no one disputed his work ethic. Now, I'm not saying that's the issue. There's something with Ramsey that just doesn't sit right. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, that's why I was asking what. He's been very successful.
He might not fit the teammate profile.
A guy
that's
successful
that
doesn't bounce
for.
All over. But, I know, but, you, I know but Raddick, again, yeah. Raddick. Yeah. But Ramsey's history goes all the way back to Florida State. He's just, there's something about that guy.
Is he off the Bucs list?
I don't think they're seriously interested.
I don't think they're doing cartwheels over it, but if Miami was stupid enough, like, hey, you can have this guy for a third-round pick, I think they'd go for it. But
you know, and if he ends up in Detroit, Steve, like you said, they might have to face him in a postseason game. You're right.
Mike Evans will take care of him. He took care of him a couple years ago again when he was playing for the Rams. Mike Evans will take care of him. He's on the Lions.
I'm not saying to overpay for him, Ira, but if Miami doesn't eat any of his salary, he's not going to cost much. Fourth-round pick, something like that.
That's right.
Because he's too expensive. But don't complain if you pass on a guy who's going who's sure to be a Hall of Fame finalist one day.
He used to be
day.
A shutdown corner league. I'm not sure he qualifies anymore. And there aren't many of those guys. There aren't many of them.
He's still a good cornerback. Like,
what about his age, Steve? 30 years
he's
old?
He's 30.
Year no, old?
I mean, he played every game last year, so all I right. can't worry about him. Okay. You know,
Jacksonville, the year after they go to the AFC title game, they couldn't wait to get rid of him. Sean McVay seems like a player's coach. He was there, what, 3 years? Got to get rid of him. Miami, the coach and the GM probably are fighting for their jobs. We got to get rid of him.
You know, I think they're going to draft the corner, Steve, on day one or day two. I think they'll have a new corner.
The best way I think I can describe Ramsey without going into big detail, and I'm talking about the whole, I mean, going all the way back to Florida State. I think this guy just wears out his welcome wherever he goes.
That's not bad, Lee. That's not bad. But
for whatever
point,
reason.
What if you're hoisting the Vince Lombardi Trophy?
Oh yeah,
then you don't care what happens in year two.
Yeah,
Antonio Brown. And but with the thing with Antonio Brown, it was just he was crazy. It wasn't that he didn't work hard. It was just crazy. And you were told a story about how they had to go to extra lengths to keep him from going off the cliff. And finally, he went off the cliff.
Yeah. And they had Brady to keep him under control a little bit.
A little bit.
Mayfield's a good leader, but he's not at that stature. Yeah,
Sage, it's interesting.
It's interesting.
You know, 3.5 years with the Rams, 2-time All-Pro, won a Super Bowl. You know, if he wears out his welcome.
He's had a heck of a career.
Let him wear out his welcome in Tampa in 2 years. That's fine with me if it means the Super Bowl.
Here's the best way I could describe. See if this hits high maintenance.
Not bad. Why am I looking at Isbits when you said that?
All right, Ira, back to the draft. Now, you said you've been studying these mocks. You've been studying a lot of things as well. I'm not saying that you're coming up with your takes here off mock drafts.
By the way, we should mention, Steve, that next week we're going to have the sit-down with Sean Sullivan, and it's going to be a full draft show.
All right, our annual draft show, Monday, we will be recording. It'll be up late Monday night.
It'll be at Bill Curry Ford headquarters.
Now they're going to need security, Ira. We will have our annual mock draft with Sean Sullivan, JoeBucksFan.com draft guru. It's always an incredible episode of us arguing things out. Sean giving his wisdom and always with an eye on the Bucs and his Bucs pick. I'm really interested to see.
And he doesn't just throw things at the wall.
No. That's Sean, right. It's right. A year-round effort for Sean. Takes his craft very seriously and can't wait. I've been prepping.
And if they pick the wrong guy in his eyes, he's off the wall. He can't sleep for a week.
Yeah, he'll lose his mind for sure. All right, so Ira, now that you've had time to really think harder and soak in and process everything you've heard, all the stuff you're hearing from One Buck, your time chatting with Todd Bowles and Jason Light at big events, where are you now? Are you going to put your name on a pick on Monday? What are you looking at? You want to pick a name now?
I'm going to give you a preliminary name and solidify it on Monday. But, Lee, this guy's been mocked to the Bucs a couple of times. Not as much as Jahad Campbell, but this guy Starks is interesting. He's sort of a hybrid.
Malachi Starks, Georgia safety.
And these Georgia kids, Lee, they can play defense, you know.
But the pass rushers,
and,
but yes.
And Light doesn't mind drafting a defensive
Nor
player.
Nor should you.
And I think the idea is between him, Tykee Smith, and a return of Antoine Winfield Jr., it gives Bowles some options back there. Versatile player. Tykee Smith's a versatile player. If they want to move Smith to full-time safety, maybe Starks can handle the slot corner and have Izzy in as a backup. I'm leaning towards Starks at this point. And I think he might be there at 19.
I would not be upset with that at all. I saw him do an interview with Taylor Biscotti, and believe it or not, I actually took my eyes off Biscotti.
Were you looking at Starks or were you looking at Biscotti?
Of course I was looking at Biscotti. Right. But I took my eyes off her just briefly. and I listened to what Stark said.
Biscotti, isn't that kind of an Italian cookie?
Oh, she's a cookie, all right.
If it's cookie, Ira wants it.
Go ahead, Lee.
This guy's a very impressive dude.
Articulate,
eloquent. He kind of fits with the Bucks,
kinda
of course.
Fits.
Smart guy.
Kind of fits.
And I like the hybrid element involved because that gives the mad scientist Bowles all kinds of different...
I didn't say cross-trained, Steve. I didn't use that term.
And Malachi, I believe, is a three-year starter, maybe a three-year starter, I know for a fact. I would not be upset with him. As a matter of fact, I'd kind of like
that. And that school's got a pedigree.
Yeah, as long as you, I got to say this real quick, and I read this week. I can't remember who wrote it, but it hit me like a ton of bricks. Name a decent pass rusher that's come from Georgia. They've had fantastic defense. They're all defensive tackles and defensive backs.
Maybe Richard Seymour?
Well, that's been a long time.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah, I'm talking during the Kirby Smart years.
Yeah, you know, yeah. But these guys are well-coached, Lee.
They're well-coached. The only guy I can think of, but I believe he was before Kirby Smart, was Leonard Floyd, and he's like an okay.
Yeah.
He's an okay pass rusher. Bowles knows these guys because his kid used to play for them. Now his kid plays
for
Michigan.
That's right. That's another
one. So he's got inside track on these guys that few other people do.
He's not a corner.
I know, but he's big safety, plays the run really well. He's a ball hawk, just a good player. If you put a gun to my head, I'm ever so slightly leaning toward defensive tackle, just slightly, but I won't be upset. I don't care who they pick on defense, because you can make an argument. I've said this 20 times. You can make an argument. Every position on the Bucks defense could use a first-round
pick. What if this green kid falls to them at 19? The Marshall pass
rusher. I'm okay with him.
Would you take him?
I'm okay with him, but my only issue is, what's he hiding? He's hiding something that happened back in high school, some hassle with a girl. And he's like, oh, you know, I transferred from Virginia. He didn't transfer from Virginia. He got dismissed. So why don't you come out and say it?
So he could fall.
Oh, I think he'll fall, and I'll be happy the Bucks draft because he's a good edge rusher.
You asked the question a week or two ago. How would you feel if the Bucks drafted a safety? I'm leaning towards Starks right now.
I was going to do the research until Ira walked in on me. I'm not blaming you, I'm just saying. But I was going to do the research. I didn't yet. When's the last time the Bucks drafted a safety in the first round? Have they ever? When's the last cornerback they drafted in the first round? Was it Tlaib? Well, I'm sorry, Mark Barron, who was actually a linebacker.
Hargraves was a corner.
But he was a corner, yeah.
The last safety was Mark Barron.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the Bucks had dense, lousy Lovie Smith.
And they didn't know how to play the guy.
Thank you. He goes to St. Louis, and Fisher puts him at linebacker. He makes a Pro Bowl.
What do you think of Starks?
Well, I'm going to defend Lovie for a second just because Shiano had him at linebacker for 2 years. So
we're saying Shiano's all of a sudden up for discussion for Canton?
No, I'm saying that they had a solid defense with Shiano when he was there, and it seemed like a good fit. So.
At the time, yeah.
Yeah.
You think Starks is off the board, or you'd be okay with it?
Well, I really don't like the pick of a safety there. I really don't. I don't think that's really where their need lies. But, you know, look, Bowles is Bowles. There's a lot of different players who are chess pieces in the draft. You know, if he thinks that's what's going to keep Tyke Smith at nickel,
Is there a void at slot corner, Steve? Could there be a void at slot corner right now?
We've talked about this. You know, Bowles is weird. He's changes slot corners like, you know, you change underwear once a year. He's got a new... a slot corner.
Or like Matt Miller changes mocks.
So, now look, Tyke Smith played 14 games. He had the flu. He had concussion issues.
I think he wore down a little bit, Steve.
Bowles said he wanted him in better condition. I believe it was at the owners' meetings. Wanted him better condition coming into this season. Motivate the guy a little. That's fine. They love him at $1. But he did lead the Bucks in forced turnovers. And that's what they want, right? So, he had two picks. He had three forced fumbles.
Well, I'm not saying that. Don't play Tyke Smith.
Oh, yeah. I'm saying I hope they don't take him out of nickel. He seemed like he could do some damage there. So, I don't know. It's very interesting, Ira, but I don't like his safety pick there. Obviously, if the guy's good, take him. That's fine. I'd much rather see him go with the edge rusher. Or now, I'll confess, and this goes back to the draft intel or what they think at $1, Jihad Campbell was on with Kay Adams, and he had an interview with her, I don't know, 15 minutes or so, and he didn't get into his injury and stuff, but man, when he's talking about how he learned the game from Nick Saban and some of the other things and his athleticism, and you know, they're showing some highlights and just weaving in the interview, and he's clearly a very good guy, he's a very religious guy. Man, I'm thinking, man, what a fit this guy feels like. But the shoulder injury is there. And
he didn't mention any particular team that's interested in him, Steve.
He wouldn't touch it. And, you know, he's well coached up on that front. But I don't know. I don't know. Part of me still would love to see just the Bucks take the best player and not be afraid to make that guy be on offense.
Luckily.
If it is.
It's obvious. The only question on Campbell is his physical condition. Nobody's questioning Campbell's talent.
And rightly so. There's only two positions I can think of. Not counting
without the shoulder, that guy might be a top five pick, Campbell. He might be.
Maybe. There's only two positions. I'm not including punter or kicker. I don't want to give people PTSD, but there's only two positions I can think of where I'd be angry if the Bucs drafted. Every other position I could make
it
on.
Hold on. Let me pick it. Running back?
No, I'd be okay with the running back.
Quarterback?
Quarterback would be one. Because they draft a quarterback in the first round. That's outrageous.
We're just talking first round here?
Yeah.
Okay. Tight end?
No.
Center?
offensive line? A tackle?
No.
Kay Adams? No.
Oh, she's number one overall pick.
Guard?
Thank you.
Well, you don't want a guard in the first round.
Well, that's true, but I just heard, and we can get to this later, Trisha Lurps was raving about Cody Mock, and he may be one of the best he's ever seen do something. We'll get to that later. So you got Mock on a rookie contract who's doing quite well, and he just signed Bredesen into a 3-year contract. So why the hell would you draft the guard? But then again, I'm not pro football focused.
Well, I can't see drafting a running back either, frankly.
I mean, I could, but
I just can't. Now, like, you know, you guys say.
I'm not saying I would.
Maybe Rashad White won't be here after this year.
Exactly.
Yeah, I understand that.
And I don't know. I know this may anger some people, and I sort of sympathize with these same people. But I just don't know if the team is in love with Sean Tucker.
By the way, speaking of Tucker, Steve, I might have misspoke. Yes, I might have misspoke. I'm admitting it. I did a big rant the other day about a receiver's got to have returnability and there's going to be more kickoff returns. Sean Tucker didn't do that bad a job on kickoff returns. He wasn't bad.
No, and
that could be a role for Sean Tucker.
It is. It was a role for Sean Tucker. There's just not enough returns.
Not punts. Yeah,
kickoffs. Exactly. You know.
Do you get the impression they're in love with Sean Tucker?
I think they like him.
I think they're completely in love with him for his role.
Okay, well, that's what I'm getting at. He didn't have that many snaps at running back, and I know a lot of people are screaming for him to get more touches, and I can't disagree with that.
I think he had 50 carries, but a good average.
Yeah, very good average.
The Bucs are very happy with him because you know he's an undrafted free agent who's filling a role, and he's good. And you
see, that's why I thought
he may be the best number three running back in the league.
Okay. It was, you know, the fact that he only gets X amount of touches, I always thought that was like, you know, they evidently aren't in love with him. Because otherwise, they see to it that he touched the ball 8-10 times a game.
Well, when you got Bucky Irving ahead of you, Lee. You know.
But as you always say, you don't want to see him get burned out.
I don't.
So, Ira, Peter Schrager reported that, based on his intel, the draft is wide open after the first three picks. And he was told, and he didn't give a name, but a GM told him that whoever Jacksonville takes at number 5, that same player could be available at number 18.
So why move up?
Well, exactly. That's a good question. Why move up for the Bucs? But if there's a guy you want, maybe this is a year when moving up doesn't cost that much because everybody knows the value isn't that great. So maybe if there's a guy you want at 13, it's not going to cost you what it did in years past.
I think it's, Lee, I just got a feeling it's more likely they move back a little than move up. Well, I just got that feeling.
I'm going to butcher the guy's last name, and I always like the guy.
Light wants those draft picks. He wants to accumulate
them. Well, I'm going to reinforce your point here. I don't want to butcher the guy's last name, but I'm going to because
as a Raku?
No.
Okay.
Trevor Sikkema.
Sikkema.
Well, that's what I thought it was. He told me something different.
Who just got married.
Yes, to what's her face on ESPN.
Alyssa Lyon. Yeah.
And he got the marriage advice from Mike Leach. He made a hell of a good point about the Bucs trading down. We all know pretty much, or we have an idea, that players in the first 10 picks, let's say, of the second round are going to be just as good as the last 10 picks in the first round. Well, when do teams get stupid in the draft?
When they try to get back into the first round.
For?
Quarterbacks.
Quarterback. The Bucs are at 19. Maybe the Browns. Maybe the Steelers.
We got to get that Jackson Dart. We got to have him.
Exactly. And like a stock up on draft picks, you could probably get 2 or 3 starters. And I think that's a hell of a good point.
That's a very good point. And, Steve, I might as well say this right now. And you know, these draft pundits, they're afraid to say it. Maybe they don't think it's the way I do. Steve, it's a mediocre draft. It's mediocre. This it doesn't have star quality. I'm sorry.
Okay.
It doesn't have enough star quality for me. They got a tight end. They got Abdul Carter. They got the kid from Colorado.
Hunter.
Other than that, I don't see it. I just don't see the star.
Not
quality.
Star power, but quality starters.
Well, a lot of people think Will Johnson is a Pro Bowl corner.
Doesn't he have an injury?
Exactly. He's hurt a lot.
Yes.
Hello, Jamel Dean.
But that doesn't mean that he won't have 3 Pro Bowl years.
Maybe that's fair.
Maybe you think Jante's going to be a star. Jante,
the running back. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. But look at wide receiver. I mean.
No real stuff.
Where's Randy Moss? I don't see anybody.
Sure.
Where's the no-brainer guy? The guy from Arizona? Teams are up and down on him.
Exactly.
They don't know what
Well, Ira, then, look, the Bucs are lacking a 6th-round pick. Do you think this is the year, as crazy as it sounds, that Jason Light tries to pull a Bill Belichick, his old mentor, and keep trading back.
For a sixth-round pick?
I don't think he's interested.
No. I mean, keep trading back and get to the top of the second round and accumulate picks.
Oh, yeah. I thought you meant that he's trying to, get a sixth-round pick.
That's what I thought.
I think Light's got his eye on the third round.
Yeah.
Maybe second round and fourth round. I think that's a sweet spot for Light. You know, he got Bucky Irving in the fourth round.
You think he does what he did in 2022 and gets out of the first round?
I think that's quite possible. Mm. Quite possible.
All right,
I don't see jumping up to 9 to get, a pass rusher. I don't see it. You know, you move from 19 to 9, Lee.
That's
a
big
cost bite. You.
Yes, it will.
It's going to cost
that's
you.
That's my point. This may be a year where it doesn't cost as much.
Ah,
right?
Because
the
there's
Jimmy
no stud.
They still got the Jimmy Johnson board that they are
which is outdated.
A little outdated.
I don't know who's got the Jimmy Johnson board up there, but maybe.
Jimmy Johnson in
Jimmy
his bar.
Jimmy Johnson in his basement. All right, Ira, look, what is with this column that you wrote about Kate Otten and the Bucks of the tight end position? What is this about?
I love to stun you with these columns. You hated the one about the chill out Light on the draft. You hated that
hated.
One. And now, well, here's one of my main points, Lee. It's a contract year. Mm-hmm. It's a contract year. He's not the only one that it's a contract year for.
No.
Gedeke was in the same draft and a couple other guys. McCollum, same draft. So I think if Otten just keeps going the way he is and doesn't take another step up, I'm not sure he's a candidate to re-sign for another 3-year extension. I'm not sure. I think he's middle of the pack right now.
Yeah.
And I think, I remember what he did during those games when Godwin and Evans was injured.
He was great.
He also caught the biggest, I said it was the biggest play in the Buck 23 season. I'll stick with it.
The Lions game?
The winning catch against the Falcons with 31 seconds left.
Oh, 20.
They don't win that game. The Bucks are in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
And they were 5-7 at that time. They go to 5-8. It might have been good night, nurse. And who does Mayfield throw to? Kate Otten. I think he's decent. I'd like to see him take another step up. And by the way, the Buck history with tight ends basically stinks. Stinks. You got Giles, whose numbers could have been a lot better if Doug Williams stuck around.
Yes.
A lot better.
Yes.
And he was a heck of a player. But when you look at the all-time Buck
tight ends.
Ken
Dilger.
And the numbers, Ron Hall. I mean, really?
Kellen
Winslow Jr.?
What about Gronk?
He wasn't around long enough.
Okay.
I mean, I'm talking about accumulating numbers.
Mm-hmm.
If Otten keeps the step up and they give him a 3-year extension, he might hold all the franchise records for tight ends. He might.
To your point about you're not so sure if Otten's a slam dunk to return, are you referring to if he's going to ask for too much money? That the Bucks aren't going to break the bank for him? Is that what you're suggesting?
You know, this Buck thing about always bringing these guys back and they don't test free agency, it's got to run out. It's got to run out one
well,
of these
the
years.
Qualifier is, that, wasn't it Joel Glazer said, the guys we want to bring back.
Yes. I think Light really likes Otten.
Oh, I think he's well-liked.
And I think Mayfield likes him.
I
want to see a little bit more. He averaged less than 10 yards a catch. I'd like to see that go up to 12. And catch more, maybe 6 or 7 touchdowns instead of 4.
He's very well-liked, I think, in the organization. I'm sort of like you.
Not a great blocker.
Tolerable. He's kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. When you got Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, and maybe Jalen McMillan continues to shine, your tight end's not, nor should he get that many targets, unless you got Gronk or Kellen Winslow Sr. So you shouldn't expect the tight end to get that much. You know what? If there's someone they want to keep, and he's a lot of money, I could see them looking at Otten and like, well, we might be able to draft a guy for cheaper, and we might get the same production from him.
Two quick points, Steve. One, if Otten stays about the same, 600 yards, 4 touchdown catches, and there's a stud tight end in the draft, I think the Bucks could be very interested in that.
Yeah, I can see that.
Right now, I certainly don't think they feel that tight end is a position in need. Not right now.
BillCurryFord.com. Shop there today. BillCurryFord.com. Tampa's first family of Ford dealerships, mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. And remember, Florida's Elite Restoration. You know what? We all know to remember them in our time of disaster, but get to their website so you can see everything they do. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Subscribe to the podcast, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Podcast Addict, wherever you get your podcast. Not everywhere, but most places. Leave a review. Ira loves his reviews. I may read another review or two that we got, Ira, and that's always fun. And I have an important question for you, Ira, 2 of them. Before we get out of here, are you ready?
I'm bracing for this crossroads question over here.
Crossroads question for you, Ira Kaufman, sage of Tampa Bay sports in his 50th year covering the NFL. Many, many decades of those on the Buccaneers beat. Still going strong. 10 is working. Golf game is improving. Guitar playing is getting better.
Par the 14th hole today, Steve. Parred it.
Par three course?
No. It was a par four. And hit some nice balls and nice. A nice little wedge up to within 3 feet.
Savor the wins, Mr. Kaufman.
There you go.
All right. At One Buck Place, the most critical thing going on, aside from hopefully going all in to win a Super Bowl this year, is finding a way to re-sign Baker Mayfield at a reasonable price so he's not asking for $62 million next year as part of an extension for $300 million over 5 years.
Are you saying he's going to be a UFA in 2026?
I'm saying this is the second year of his three-year deal.
Okay.
And he's making pennies on the dollar for quarterbacks, $30 million this year, and it's $40 next year. But the back-to-back Pro Bowls, guys in his caliber, at his age, his success, are making 50 to 60. So the Bucs know that they need Baker Mayfield to somehow want a decent contract, to willing to take less to keep this thing going. So my question for you.
And he backed up his first year, so they don't have any questions that he was a one-year wonder.
Yeah, he's the franchise quarterback. He is the franchise quarterback. My question to you is, this draft going defense for the Bucs, are they going to stick with the heavy, heavy, heavy defense because they want to next year basically draft completely for Mayfield on the offensive side so his mind is just blown and wants to stay? That they go in for the big receiver, the Mike Evans replacement next year, whether they need him or not. That they go add a beastly interior lineman, whether they need him or not.
Or a tight end.
And a big tight end and just go all in. Is that the plan? To get Mayfield to say, you know what, yeah, I'll play for $40 million with the Bucs. I just want to be here. This is incredible. Is that part of the deal?
It could be. I don't know if they're thinking that far ahead with trying to placate Mayfield. I don't think he needs a lot of placating. Yeah, I think he's very happy with the talent around him. Now, look, Evans isn't going to last forever. Godwin's hitting. If he didn't have the injury, we'd say he's coming into his prime years, basically. Love Berkey Irving. Love the offensive line. I understand Steve's point. I would look at it instead of saying we got to surround him with more talent. I think lock him in at the right price, Lee. Lock him in at the right price. I think that is the priority.
Unknowingly, I think I answered Steve's question earlier. And I said if the Bucks get in contract negotiations with someone, maybe they sacrifice Ott and decide, you know, we can go out and draft a tight end just as well, and he'll be on a rookie contract. We'll save money. Bingo, Baker Mayfield. We'll make you happy, Baker, even though you're already happy. We'll pay you, and they sacrifice Ott.
When would you open negotiations, or would you do it right now with Mayfield?
No, after this year. You don't want him to go into a contract here, and you figure it out. But I think it's important because you just said before, hey, this thing with the Bucks and everybody staying and re-signing, it's going to run out. And, like, look at Reddick, right? He sees the roster, and he sees, man, there's a ton of guys. Everybody here plays for less than their value. I'm not playing for less than my value.
I could see Reddick moving on.
Mike Evans makes 20.
I could see Reddick moving on after this year.
Mike Evans makes $24 million, and I want $33. Well, I'm never going to get that here. So at some point it runs out, but I'm just trying to figure out if you think
that he's not homegrown. Reddick's not homegrown.
No.
And I think that makes a difference.
Neither is Mayfield.
And neither is Mayfield.
And
But Levante, Mike Evans, Winfield, the guys who didn't test free agency, they're homegrown, Lee.
You're right. And here's an element that I think you guys might be overlooking. Reddick right now is 31. Unless you're a Reggie White or a Bosa, in that stratosphere, rarely do you see guys over 32 that are dominant. Von Miller's another one. I say right now 40% chance Reddick is here next year. I think so. Even Reddick, and Rosenhaus is not stupid. Rosenhaus, I'm sure, is going to lay this out to Reddick. He's like, next year you got to go with the top dollar, whoever does it.
I think you're right, Lee.
So I think I think whoever has the biggest.
Which is another reason to draft another edge rusher. Rightly?
Yeah, and I'm not against that whatsoever. Any position on defense, I'm happy with. And
you can't assume Reddick's a long-term Buccaneer.
No, not at all. And, you know, even like Lee mentioned, Bosa's
ganged up all of them too.
Both of them haven't even hit 30, and they're on the decline. You know,
T.J. Watt's not.
No,
but yeah.
So let me throw this to you. Lee said, you seem to agree with him. Now, I wasn't here, but I did throw things against the wall.
You not the first time you've done that with something I've said.
Me too.
You said on the Ira Kaufman podcast, Lee said on the Ira Kaufman podcast, that Todd Bowles is here, next year. Absolutely, unless there's some sort of epic collapse. I think he said 3 or 4 wins. I would contend here right now, right here, right now, if the Bucks go 8-9 and miss the playoffs, Todd Bowles is launched and nobody looks back. Absolutely, and I would want him to be gone because you don't get that long. You just don't. And the Bucks took a half step back last year in the playoffs. If you can't make it this year with a loaded offense and all these other things, you know,
I don't think I agree with you that they took a half step back. They won one more game in the regular season, and they lost to a team that was a lot better than people thought going into that game. And when they played the Eagles the year before, the Eagles were in complete disarray. The freaking Jacksonville Jaguars could have beat the Eagles that day. They were in terrible shape, Lee. Ooh. All kinds of internal dissension, falling apart.
How do you explain the Bucks playing so well up at Detroit in the playoffs then?
Ira, they went toe-to-toe with a ferocious, loaded Lions team.
You mean the Lions team that got thrashed by the Commanders last year?
No, two years ago.
No, no, I'm pointing out that they were thrashed by the Commanders.
Well, they were
the team that beat
Steve
the Bucks.
And I
in the
referring
playoffs.
To 2 years ago.
Yeah, now last year's Lions, a different team, completely broken down.
Oh,
on defense.
What are you talking about? They went 15-2, completely.
Yeah, their defense was decimated, completely decimated.
Number one seed.
I mean, say they were bad. I'm saying that I think they were better the year before in the playoffs.
I agree.
In the playoffs.
They choked against the 49ers. They should have been in the Super Bowl.
I'm sticking with Lee on this one. If the Bucks fall apart, Bowles probably gone. 8-9, I think they give him another shot.
Isn't that falling apart?
No.
So,
hell, 8-9, they got in the playoffs a couple years ago.
8-9, I think they win the division again.
I don't know. I think 8-9's falling apart. I don't know. I don't think fans would accept that.
Could depend on injuries.
I'll restate it. I just think the powers that be at One Buck Palace really like Todd Bowles, and they're going to give him rope.
He won 10 games with a lot of injuries last
year. I'm not talking about last year. I'm talking about next year.
I'll restate it. Unless the Bucks go 3-14, which would be an utter collapse, I don't see the Bucks moving on. I'm not going that far.
I'm thinking 6-11. He's in trouble. 6-11. I'm not going 3-4. It doesn't have to
trouble.
Be 3-14.
Trouble. I love these conversations. And I hate them at the same time because you could say I think he's in trouble at 6-11. Okay, let's put yourself into the season. Launch yourself into that season. The Bucks are sitting there at 5-9. You don't think he's in trouble?
No.
At 5-9.
Not for this year, no.
We're in last place at 5-9, tied with the Saints. And you don't think he's in trouble?
No.
Wow.
Because I think the powers that be like him that much. They're going to give him rope. I know Turkey won a Super Bowl, but they gave him all sorts of rope. I really believe that. Now, again, if they lose 14 games, that's a different animal. Let me say this. If they do what you just said, 5-whatever.
Yeah, they're at 5-9.
He's on notice for 2026. But I don't think they'll fire him.
You got to remember the Glazers. They're not capricious.
They
think about things.
It's
they
his
think
fourth
it
year.
Well, the first 3 years haven't been terrible. He's won
I'm
three
not
straight.
How many years did John Harbaugh miss the playoffs?
He's got
and
a
five. Fired?
He's got a 3 year playoff streak. Steve, has he built up any street cred? Any?
I'm sure he has. But if I'm just saying, I believe that you can still like a guy and fire him. He's not a young coach. He's not an up and comer. They're going in as the favorite in the NFC South. I think they took a little step back last year. I really do. But even if
I don't think that's the feeling in the organization that they took a step back last year. Lights calls this an ascending team. Why would he do that if he thought they took a step back last year?
I'm not saying two steps back. I'm saying that they lost in the first round at home. That's the reality.
They did.
That's the reality. Game they should have won. The year before they won at home. Game they.
Why should they have won the Washington game? They were outplayed. Why? They were outplayed. Yes. They got 7 offensive series. They couldn't get off the field.
Vegas said they were supposed to win, didn't they?
Well, but he said the way the game was played, they should have won it.
Yeah,
I don't agree
the game,
with that.
Yeah, you looked. You had two.
Don't tell it to Sean.
Two ridiculous
Sullivan.
Turnovers by the Bucks. If those don't happen, I mean this was not a great play by Washington with the Bucks fumbling a reverse.
That's true.
This was not a heroic play by Washington with. Graham Barton screwing up snaps.
The way they handled that 2nd and 2 with those 2 terrible calls, they don't deserve to win that game.
All right. I got you, Sage. All right. Well, this
now,
is
wait
now some people will claim that's why Bowles shouldn't be here. They should have gone for it on 4th down. I'm not in that camp.
I think that's ridiculous.
Okay. Now, I'm not in that camp, but I'm just saying there are people out there.
I'm not mad at balls. I just don't think.
I'm surprised you're not giving me the other part of the equation. Fire balls and move up Josh Grizzard. You're not giving me the Grizzard line, are you?
Well,
we don't want to lose Josh Grizzard. Come on, Steve.
No, I'm not. I can't go that far. We have to see Josh Grizzard. I heard that, and I was stunned.
Well, I don't agree with Lee at 3-14 that it requires a 3-14.
That's okay. We can all disagree.
6-11 would be a shocker, a real shocker for ownership. Maybe to the point where they have to consider making a move. I'll say that. But 8-9, no, that's not a collapse.
That's still a division.
That's his record his first year. But I understand your point, Steve. You don't think that fan skepticism about Bowles would be a factor for the Glazers.
Sure, it should be a factor to a degree, small degree, maybe.
Small degree.
10-15%. Joel Glazer himself issued that famous line, fans are our stockholders, when he fired Gruden, and he said it was time for a change.
How long ago was that?
Well,
08.
You both of you guys would say, well, Glazer's never fired a guy.
I think it was
whatever,
a factor with Gruden. It was
fired
a
guy mid-season. I think the NFL's a real-time league. They'd have to see it. But the expectations are high.
I haven't seen the whole video. Tristan Wirfs did an hour-long sit-down with Brandon Thorne. Brandon Thorne's one of the rare guys out there, NFL analyst. He specifically focuses on offensive line play. He gets real deep in the weeds, technically, X's nose. So him and Wirfs had an hour.
He could be Jason Light's favorite analyst.
Probably.
Over there.
Probably. And him and Wirfs did an hour-long video where Wirfs had a couple of really good stories. Not X's nose, really. One was about Justin Schooley. He said Schooley, each quarter he would pick because whoever the tackle was that was close to the Buck sideline. Schooley would focus on one of the tackles, either Getke or Wirfs. Wirfs, of course, 2 years ago was learning how to play left tackle. He said he consulted with Schooley all the time. He'd come off the field, Schooley would be watching him if it was his quarter, and Schooley would break down everything the defensive lineman did against him. And
just by watching from the sidelines.
Yeah, just by watching from the sidelines. And Wirfs gave an example of what Schooley told him. Obviously, no one has eyes in the back of their head. And at the time, Wirfs was used to blocking for Brady. He wasn't so much used to blocking for Mayfield. Wirfs didn't do what they call a hop, was when you dig your feet in. But to do that, you got to hop. So, you dig your feet in to get leverage. He thought his back was up against Mayfield. He was used to playing Brady, not with Mayfield. And Schooley, no, you had an extra, you could have done another hop. You were okay. Oh, and he just said that Schooley was so valuable, helping him out, coaching him during the game, going over everything, that Wirfs isn't fully sure he'd be as good at left tackle as what he is now without Schooley.
You just led me to believe that the Bucks shouldn't have let Schooley go.
Well, it makes you think.
It makes you think.
And he said Getke was the same way when, let's say, the second quarter, hypothetically, and Getke was the closest tackle to the sideline, he'd be working with Getke that quarter.
Sounds like this guy's a technician. Didn't have the skill set of a Getke or Wirfs. But really got into the weeds, Schooley.
Another thing Wirfs raved about was Cody Mauch.
Now, wait a minute. He's playing away from Cody Mauch. He should be raving about Bredesen.
You would think, but they do share a position room, and they do watch the same tape. He said Cody Mauch, quote-unquote, unbelievable his recovery time. Like, a guy might put a move on Mauch, or Mauch might make a mistake, but in a snap of a finger, Mauch can recover and get back on the block.
It's like I run this podcast.
Oh, well, I was thinking, like a buffet.
Here comes a new shrimp. I'm there.
Yeah. Move. He said Mauch's recovery is quote-unquote unbelievable.
Look, the right side of that line, it's young and it's solid. You got Wirfs at left tackle. You got a rising center. They're in good shape on the offensive line, barring injuries.
Yes.
Barring injuries.
All right. Because of Ira's ego and how he loves to
bomb. I don't know what comment you're going to hit me with. I got no idea.
Because he loves
this is not scripted.
He loves to bond with the fans. I think this is going to become a new thing where we read a couple of comments about
Ask
the
Ira.
Website.
All right.
So we got a couple of them here. First, I just want to thank Clark Lawless, who likes to comment a lot on the Podbean app. We read one of his comments last time.
Me again?
He had a little joke. This Rock Riley sounds like a real up-and-comer. Of course, Rock, legend in the 90s and 2000s here in Tampa Bay sports media. And, still doing his thing.
There's no reference to a coconut donut in this comment, is there?
So this comment comes from David P67. He says, after the idea of a YouTube cast you floated, I am reminded of the song Video Killed the Radio Star.
Bingo.
P.S. Lee, you're great. Your Stormout episode is still the finest podcast I've heard in many years. Stormout, when you stormed off the podcast.
Oh, okay.
Didn't he do it twice? He might have done
once.
It twice.
I don't think it was twice. No, I don't think it was twice. So
that was a classic. That was a classic.
Classic.
Imagine if that was on YouTube. Lee, just an empty seat.
Well, what do we got?
With the microphone.
What is there? Cameraman. Yeah, it's Stormout. You don't see that on YouTube. This one is from
Sap. Did
Bookerese says only Ira can turn my commute into the best part of the day. This is on the Apple podcast forum. Great Buck and NFL insights, hilarious war stories, and classic Brooklynese toying with the Joes. Why can't I buy an Ira Kaufman T-shirt?
I got a better one. Bobblehead.
Bobblehead.
Yeah, Ira Bobblehead.
With my little chapeau on top that I use with the guitar lessons. I can just see Steve ordering T-shirts. I can just see your mind.
Do you really wear that hat during the guitar lessons?
I wore it at golf today. It helped me. It straightened out my iron play.
And last one comes from Sergeant Beaufides. Ira and the Joes are on it. Great insight and sage wisdom. Love the show. Can't wait for the next episode. We need more shows and more of Lee, who lets the truth be known.
Oh, no.
Oh, very nice.
The fans are standing up
for
Lee.
All the feedback.
Lee's figured it out. So he self-deprecates, and then the fans have his back. Say, no, Lee, keep it going, baby.
And I'm really looking forward to our sit-down with Sean Sullivan next week. Looking forward
to it.
That's
going to be fun.
The annual mock draft podcast with JoeBucksFan.com draft guru Sean Sullivan. Ira, what's on the menu this week? Anything good?
Well, I'm doing all the cooking. My wife's recuperating. You know, she's out of the hospital.
TV dinners?
No.
What are you cooking?
I went to Publix and got a cooked chicken and bought some shrimp fried rice. Brought it home, put it on a plate. That's the extent of my cooking. Boom!